really glad to have my friend Rob Carr, Retail Merchants Association, join me this morning. Rob, I hope you've been well.
I've been well, Tom. Hope you have as well. It's good to be with you again.
You know, this issue of retail theft, there's no ignoring it. There's no way you can ignore it. It costs every single person who's listening right now. It comes out of your pocket, too. How do you categorize it? But I'm having a problem on how immense this problem is on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's tough to do. I mean, you know, and you identified it right there in your opening remarks. I think people look at, we used to look at retail theft and say, well, it was just somebody stealing a loaf of bread because they were hungry, or a candy bar, or, you know, a 12-year-old stealing a pack of gum. I'm not sure it was ever that simple, but it's certainly gotten more complex. You don't see it being driven by those hunger-type issues. There are government hunger programs and private sectors that obviate those needs. This is really organized, and it's really teaching people to look at it and recognize it. And this means local police departments, for example, that when they see somebody stole, you know, a bunch of razor blades or a bunch of batteries or whatever, you know, a bunch of whitening toothpaste, that it's not just somebody stealing it because they want to brush their teeth. They're stealing it for resale on the internet or selling it to more likely to middlemen. And so it's very organized in that sense. So it's much different than what we perhaps grew up with.
Just for fun, just threw in a couple of search terms on Google about Illinois on retail theft. Here's one from 17 hours ago. Pair charged in $5 million high-end theft ring in suburban Chicago. Here's another one. Four Central Illinois residents charged in $24,000 retail theft investigation. What I think the most, when you listen to Rob, the idea of this large organized group that literally travels the interstates. I've talked to the police in Marion. 57 goes through. They get on the highway, move on down the road. And there's another aspect, the belligerence of the people who are pulling these crimes off.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot more, you know, they used to try to hide their efforts, and now they really don't hide it very often. It's very in your face, very bold. The problem for retail, you know, people think, well, then why don't the retailers stop them? We can't. We don't have any police authority, and we face liability if we do. If we were to harm them in some way, we face liability. If our team members were to be injured, we face liability. And if, God forbid, our customers were injured in that effort, we face liability. So it's very difficult for us. Unfortunately, as well, and I don't want to paint a broad brush here, Tom, but unfortunately, police are stretched thin on a variety of fronts, manpower being one of them, just like everyone else. And so they don't see retail theft as something to respond to generally very quickly. And so that's a problem. So it really is, there's a number of fronts that need to be addressed here.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were talking to one of our guests and saying, look, if your store, like a grocery store, is a 1% margin and somebody steals $100 worth of stuff, you've got to sell $100,000 worth of makeup for the loss.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's something you started with at the top. For whatever reason, this myth has grown up that retail theft is a victimless crime, that the quote-unquote only people hurt.
You have insurance. You have insurance. I've heard it yelled in videos.
That's another myth that drives me crazy. First, it is not victimless, and it is not quote-unquote just the retailer. It is the retailer. It is everyone who works for them. It is the community that relies upon the sales tax. Sales tax is the largest revenue generator for local governments and the second largest for the state. Every item that's stolen has no sales tax paid on it. That means that there's no sales tax that goes to support the services we all rely upon. This might be, retail theft actually might be one of the crimes with the most victims involved when you logically play it out, and you don't even have to stretch to logically play it out. So you want more law enforcement? Stop retail theft. You want better streets paved? Stop retail theft. You want whatever the service might be, you need to stop retail theft. And it's all of those team members whose jobs are at risk, because your point, you have to sell even more. And how do you do that? There's only so much that the consumer is going to buy. And then the other myth that drives me crazy is, well, they have insurance. There is no such thing as insurance for retail theft. No, doesn't exist. You couldn't afford it if it did. Those two myths just absolutely drive me over the edge, Tom.
Yeah, and you know what? The insult to injury aspect of this. If you imagine somebody on fixed income who goes to the grocery store and shops for carefully with every dollar, when a pound of ground beef can cost you $7.99, imagine that, and grocery stores live on the thinnest of margins. And so you see prices going up because of all the feed-in prices, but then you add retail theft and compensating for that to keep the stores open. It's really piling on. So what's the solution? Because some stores' solution in some high-impact areas has been simply to close the doors. Others, to lock everything behind cabinets. Others, to put up gates to be able to have an ID to walk in. What's the solution here, Phil, especially when it comes to mom and pops?
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of time and effort. And I have to start by thanking our Attorney General. Attorney General Kwame Ruhl has been a real partner in our efforts. He sat with me in the Senate President's office till 2 a.m. to pass the Organized Retail Crime Bill. Almost 30 years of doing this, I've never had a constitutional officer invest that much time and effort personally. And he's created task forces. He received some grant money from the General Assembly that he has used to help local law enforcement in hotter areas to address this issue. He's going to need more of that. It's going to take education. It's going to take additional resources. It's going to take, and that education is going to include getting local law enforcement to recognize that sometimes, as I said earlier, when somebody's stealing a bunch of batteries or something like that, don't look at it as just, oh, well, this is just a one-off. It's probably connected to something else. And then we're going to be starting a statewide intelligence gathering platform called an ORCA, an Organized Retail Crime Association, so that asset protection professionals at retailers, mom-and-pop retailers, local law enforcement can share intelligence on that platform and then coordinate with other law enforcement, such as the federal government and the Attorney General. But, Tom, there's no easy answer. It's going to take time.
You know, there was one interesting idea I saw, and I believe this was New Mexico, where, you know, you have the laws, if you steal less than this much, then you face lesser charges. So you steal less than 300 and then you go home, put it all away, and then you go out, steal less than 300. Well, the idea being in New Mexico, and I don't know if this has been fully pulled into law, that you can take everything that they have stole over the last 3 or 4 months, add them all together, and then you can charge them with federal retail theft, or at least
we do.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Tom. Yeah, we do have that. We have aggregation here. What's frustrating is that you have serious policy discussions in Springfield by people, particularly out of Chicago, which is interesting because they're being hit some hardest probably in the state, who want to increase that threshold. They think Illinois right now has one of the lowest thresholds in the nation for felony theft. It's $300. But they want to increase that. We've seen proposals for as much as $2,500. But here's the catch. Everywhere it has been increased in the nation, the value of the merchandise stolen has increased with it. People like to say criminals aren't smart. They are smart to a degree. They know where the lines are, and they will go to that line. So we're opening up retailers for more theft. We're opening up our communities for more loss if we do that take that type of approach. But we have aggregation in Illinois. The catch is you got to catch them. There's stats that anywhere between 7 and 12 times somebody's stolen before they get caught.
Now, here's an interesting question that's come in from Mark. He says, please, would you ask Rob about reusable bags? What if there's no more free plastic bags along with self-checkouts? Will that lead to more shoplifting? He goes on to say people can just walk around with their own bags, just put things in them, and then self-checkout a few cheap items and walk out. Your thoughts on this, Rob?
That's always been a concern. It's going to require additional vigilance on the part of the retailer. But I do think, was it Mark? Was it his name?
Yes,
to Mark's
Mark.
Question?
Yes.
You're going to have you're going to see more and more phasing out of plastic and probably a return to paper and reusable.
Yeah. Rob Carr. So if the mom and pop stores listening this morning, Rob Carr, the Retail Merchants Association, where can that local store that doesn't have an association, doesn't have that big corporate mentality and legal department, where can they go to look for assistance and precautions they can take?
They should educate their local police department. They should talk to their local state's attorney. They can certainly coordinate with us. We have our membership. We have a large number of independent retailers. Our board is made up of half of it's made up of independent small retailers. So we can assist in that area as well. But it's going to take a coordinated effort by everyone, just informing, you know, they should talk to their neighbors and customers, you know, some sort of informational piece that says, you know, retail theft hurts all of us.
Video cameras.
I may have an idea now out of this conversation.
Yeah, get a lot of video cameras. You know,
yeah, there you go.
ID them.
There you go.
You know, one thing that does...
That is something else. Share video. You know, don't be afraid about... don't be fearful about telling your story.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that ticks me off, the masks. They've become so commonplace, and now we're just... They pull entire sock masks on and walk in. You're expected to treat them like they're just another retail customer. Two guys walk into your place with sock masks, and, oh, well, you know, maybe they're not here to steal. The mask issue is really a problem here.
It is a problem, and unfortunately, you know, they oftentimes just use those medical masks, so it's a hard, again, for the retailer. We have liability. How do you tell someone you can't wear a mask here? You can't do that. So it does put us in another no-win situation.
Yeah. Rob Carr, Retail Merchant Association. Rob, thanks for your time, pal.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Tom. Be well.